Live every second of our life according to His wishes. One who is able to do this until he breathes his last, he is successful. And one who fails, so much so that even if he fails in the last moment, the person is granted a lifespan of 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years. The people of the past were granted lifespan of 1000 years, 3000 years. If a person was to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter live every second of his life according to the wishes of the Creator, until the final moment, just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before departure. And if he was to reject the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if he was to reject the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if he was to reject the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if he was to reject any of those aqaid which are necessary for a person's iman, then he would be doomed to the fire of hell forever and ever. He will be a failure in this world and he will be a failure in the hereafter. From this we understand that a person is worthy of praise only after he departs from this world. Our friends, our well-wishers, our teachers, our students, our mashayikh, our family members, our children, our parents, when they praise us, when they say good words about us, they benefit from praising us. It is no benefit to us. Those people who praise another Muslim, the one who praises benefits. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have good thoughts about them. Our Sharia teaches us, the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us and encourages us to refrain from suspicious thoughts and to have good thoughts for each other, entertain good thoughts for each other. Instead of criticizing people with justification or without justification, it is better that we say good words about people. It is better that we show respect to people. It is better that we honor people. It is better that we love people. It is better that we hug people. It is better that we greet people. It is better that we show love, we show compassion, we show mercy. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithmun. This is all seerah. You pick up any verse from the glorious Quran or any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it is seerah. What is a hadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something. This is a hadith. The same of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does something. This is a hadith, the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam observed a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu say something or do something and he remains silent. Then the saying of the sahabi or the action of the sahabi is also a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it is not impossible for a Nabi to hear something which is contrary to Sharia or see something which is contrary to Sharia and thereafter remain silent. So if a Nabi observes something which is contrary to Sharia or when a Nabi hears something which is contrary to Sharia and thereafter he remains silent, that means that is also part of Sharia. So the saying of a Nabi is hadith. The saying of the Nabi is hadith, Qawlur Rasul. The action of the Nabi is also Sharia, Fi'lur Rasul. And when the Nabi observes another person speaking or doing something and he remains silent, he does not carry out the amal of Nahi Anil Munkar. He doesn't prevent him from doing that or saying that. Then this is a sign that this is in conformity with Sharia. This is according to the wishes of Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, this practice of the Sahabi or this saying of the Sahabi is also a hadith. So every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his seerah, it is part of his life. He says something, he does something, or he sees another person do something, say something, and he confirms. And similarly, every verse of the Quran is also seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every verse of the Quran. Because every verse of the Quran is guidance. Every verse of the Quran is an instruction from the Almighty. And it is not possible for a Nabi to live his life contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to believe, it is our belief, that whatever is ordained by the Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has practiced each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every verse of the Quran is also seerah. Aisha Siddiqa, a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, came into the company of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eminent companions and the tabi'een used to come in her company with veil in between and they would learn from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. They would ask questions and find solutions to their questions. They would listen to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person came to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said, can you shed some light on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Can you mention some points regarding the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala said, Amal taqra'ul Quran? Do you not read the Quran? Do you recite the Quran or not? Do you read the Quran or not? He said, yes, I read the Quran, I recite the Quran. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala said, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. The life and the style of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nothing but Quran. Each and every command that you find in the Quran, each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would find that practically in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His style, his life, his seerah was nothing but Qur'an. and every amal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was nothing but the commentary of the Quran. The Quran is the fountain of hidayah. Quran is the fountain of hidayah. And the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the commentary of the Quran. So there is no contradiction between the ahadith and the Quran. What is Quran is ahadith, and what is ahadith is Quran. Because what is contained in ahadith is contained in the Quran, and what is contained in the Quran is contained in the ahadith. Quran is a text. Quran is a text, and ahadith are the commentaries. Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran has emanated from the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran has always been there since the time Allah has been there. And Quran will remain for as long as Allah remains. Allah has always been there, Quran has always been there. And Allah will remain forever, therefore Quran will remain forever. Quran is the word of Allah. Word of Allah. Injil is the book of Allah. It cannot be called the word of Allah. Torah is the book of Allah. It cannot be called the word of Allah. Zabur is the book of Allah. It cannot be called the word of Allah. Quran is the word of Allah. It has emanated from His being. It has always been there with Allah. It is a quality of Allah. Allah is all knowing. Knowledge has always remained with Allah. Allah is not like us, that when we were born we had no knowledge. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created you from the wombs of your mother. It is Allah who has created you. Allah created you. And when you came into this world from the wombs of your mother, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا, your condition was that you had no knowledge whatsoever. You did not know a single thing. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You had knowledge of nothing whatsoever. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the means to grasp knowledge. Allah granted you the faculty of ears, the eyes, the brain, the heart. It is through this heart and brain you think. It is through the ears you hear, listen. It is with the eyes you see. It is with the nose you smell. It is with the tongue you taste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created you, you had knowledge of nothing whatsoever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, granted you those means through which you began grasping knowledge. Grasping knowledge. This is cold, this is hot, this is smooth, this is rough, this is blue, this is green. This is sweet, this is sour. This is good, this is bad. Smell. And slowly, the knowledge increases. And every human differs from the other as far as the level of knowledge is concerned. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. You will always find an alim who is superior to the one you have met. There will be another one who is more superior, and then another one who is more superior, and then another one who is more superior, until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most superior. Ana alamukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the most knowledge. And then after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa fawqa kulli dhi ilmin alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had no knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the means to acquire knowledge, to grasp knowledge through those means. We began
a professor, knowledge increases, and there is no limit to knowledge. No limit to knowledge. It is for this reason you find people with various degree of knowledge. Those who work hard and those who are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a powerful understanding, with a powerful memory, they excel more. So work hard and then gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with intelligence, with understanding, with tafakkuh, fiqh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. All these great personalities were granted a special understanding by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special understanding of deen. There are people who are given a special insight in politics. There are those who have special insight in architecture, in engineering, in medicine. These great souls were granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a special insight in the Quran and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What they could understand, other people cannot understand. And they guided the whole of humanity, whole of mankind. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Only through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are different from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our knowledge can increase, our knowledge can decrease. Our understanding can increase, our understanding can decrease. Our vision can get better and it can get worse. The power of listening can get better, can get worse. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, He is Sami', He is all hearing. He has always been all hearing. And He will always remain all hearing. There is no increase in the power of hearing. Why? Because if it has reached its peak, and there is no possibility of decrease. He is all knowing. He has always been all knowing. There is no increase in His knowledge. Because His knowledge has reached the peak. There is nothing beyond. Allahu Akbar. He has the knowledge of each and every particle in the creation. In this universe, each and every particle He has the knowledge. And His knowledge is perfect. 100% perfect. His knowledge never makes a mistake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami'. So this quality of knowing, quality of ilm, has always been with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will always remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah, a person cannot say Allah was ignorant until 50 years, and after 50 years he acquired knowledge. Or he had less knowledge before, now he has more knowledge. No. His knowledge is so definite, that his knowledge of today, there is no difference between his knowledge for today and his knowledge for tomorrow. What is going to happen tomorrow? The knowledge he has for tomorrow is same as his knowledge for now, what's happening now. Exactly the same. What will happen after 500 years? What will happen after 5000 years? What will happen in the Akhirah? His knowledge is 100%. 1000%, 1,000,000%, 1,000,000,000%, 1,000,000,000,000%. So just as ilm is his quality, it has always been with him, it will always remain with him. Hearing and listening is his quality, it has always been with him, it will always remain with him. Seeing and observing is his quality, it has always been with him, it will always remain with him. Similarly, the Quran, from Alhamd till Wannas, is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was always with him, it will always remain with him. This Quran, my dear friend, we need to have love for. This Quran we need to have respect for. With this Quran we need to honor. And this Quran we need to attach ourselves to. This Quran we need to recite on a regular basis. This Quran is our only guidance. Only guidance. The Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being his commentary. reliable ulama and understand the message of the Quran. Read books and tafsir and commentaries written by reliable ulama and understand the Quran. Read the Quran, understand the Quran, and thereafter practice the Quran. Practice the Quran. When you begin to practice the Quran, you will begin to follow the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When you begin to understand the Quran, you will be able to truly appreciate the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So the Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Quran teaches us, the seerah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us to have good thoughts for people and to stay away from suspicious thoughts. Ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Stay away from suspicious thoughts. Suspicious thoughts without any evidence, without any proof. Without any proof, he has malice for me, he has grudge for me, he hates me, he doesn't like me, he hates my guts. How do you know? Any proof? Any evidence? No, I just feel that way. I just feel that way. I just feel that way. This is a suspicious thought for which you will be questioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Brushing aside those thoughts, that no, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah,
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What right do I have to think and assume without any evidence that he has been drinking? Maybe he went to call somebody. Maybe he went to see somebody. Maybe he went to give dawah to somebody who is doing something wrong in there. Try to brush it aside. You gave place to that thought in your heart, in your mind. You did not see him consume alcohol. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you study in his court and he will say that you saw somebody walk out of the pub and you had entertained this thought that he has consumed alcohol. You did not brush aside that thought, you entertained it, you gave that thought place in your heart. Substantiate this thought with proof and dalil. If you are unable to, then this can become a means of you going in the fire of Jahannam. And you have another person who is walking past the masjid, and instead of entertaining suspicious thoughts, you had good thoughts for him. You thought to yourself that maybe he has to go somewhere, so he must have performed his salah at home. He is a Muslim, how can he miss salah? Now he hasn't performed salah. He hasn't performed salah, but you are following the commands of the Sharia, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are entertaining good thoughts regarding him. On the day of Qiyamah, despite him not having performed salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say that you had positive and good thoughts regarding this person substantiated with proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you had a good thought regarding a Muslim brother, I will reward you and I will enter you into Jannah. For suspicious thought, you need proof, you need evidence, you need dalil. For a good thought, there is no need for dalil. There is no need for proof. There is no need for evidence. So why do we not take that path which is more safer and which is more easier? And give preference over that path which is more difficult and which is more dangerous. So when a person has a good thought regarding another person, this is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that person. Maulana Safwan mentioned a few words regarding this insignificant one. It was his love. It was his love that compelled him to say whatever he wanted to say, or whatever he thought about. For him it is good that he will be rewarded in the hereafter for having a good thought regarding another Muslim. But as far as the one being praised is concerned, he should never feel happy. And he should never feel content until he breathes his last with iman. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My friend, think for a moment. Think for a moment. The whole world praises you. The whole world praises you. The whole world says a great alim, a great sheikh, a great allama, a great muhaddith, a great mufassir, master in the field of tasawwuf, master in the field of hadith, master in the field of fiqh, master in the field of tafsir, pious, full of taqwa, deep that, deep that. The whole world praises you. The whole world praises you from the time it began until it ends with Qiyamah. But on the day of Qiyamah, when you are resurrected, you are resurrected in a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unhappy with you. What is the point of the praise? What have you acquired? What have you acquired? And let's take another scenario that the whole world is fighting you. Right from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam until the last day. The whole world is fighting you, the whole world speaks evil of you. And not a single person is prepared to take any of your good qualities into consideration. But on the day of Qiyamah, when you are resurrected, you are resurrected in a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. What have you lost? What have you lost? When we hear people praising ourselves, at that very moment, We should think to ourselves that despite all my evil, despite all my ill deeds, despite all my disobediences to the Creator, despite my shortcomings in carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite me having no status whatsoever, how grateful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me that He has veiled me. He has veiled me with a covering that whenever people see me, they see me with love, they see me with affection, and they say good words about me. They say good words about me. This is nothing but the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person praises you or me, my friend, he is not praising you or he is not praising me. In reality, that person is praising that veil which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals us. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to remove that veil, and if people came to realize how evil we are, if people came to realize how much sins we are committing, if people come to realize what we are doing behind closed doors, if people come to realize what we do during the darkness of the night, if people come to realize what we do when we are in solitude, when we are loneliness, then my friend, never mind praising, never mind praising, they will not even want to look at us with affection. Never mind praising us, never mind hugging us, never mind shaking hands with us, never mind standing up for us, never mind honoring us. They would not want to even see our shadows. If a person praises us, then this is another favor from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that very moment we should say, oh Allah, you are so kind to me. You are so kind to me. I am not a regular performer of salah. I will give zakah the way I should give. My soul is just remaining hungry and thirsty from morning till evening. My eyes are wandering here and there even during the month of Ramadan when I am fasting. My tongue is in riba. My tongue is in slander. My tongue is lying, deceiving people. Oh Allah, despite all this, you have veiled me with a veil due to which people see me as a religious person, as a muttaqi person. People see me as a muttaqi, people see me as a wali, people see me as a da'i, people see me as religious. But you know I am not. I know I am not. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you. And after being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to Allah that, oh Allah, you have put this veil upon me, whereby people see me as a muttaqi, people see me as a religious person, people see me as a wali. Oh Allah, just remove this veil and make me muttaqi. Make me muttaqi, make me wali. Why only cover me with this veil of wilayat? Why only cover me with this veil of taqwa? Make me muttaqi, make me wali. Pray to Allah and say to Allah that, oh Allah, just as you have concealed me in this world until now, conceal me until I die. And oh Allah, just as you have concealed me in this world, conceal me when I am dying. Conceal me in the grave. When the malaika come and they question me, Mar Rabbuk, Ma Deenuka, Ma Taquna Fi Hadha Ar-Rajul. Oh Allah, conceal me at that time and inspire me with the correct answer. Oh Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, when you resurrect me, when I will be in front of the masses, every malaika will be there, every angel will be there, every human will be there, every jinn will be there. If somebody was to expose me or expose you, if somebody came to know of our you want me to do? I'll do it for you. Please don't tell me. Just one thing. And he will expose us in front of how many people? How many people? 1,000 people, 100,000 people, 1,000,000 people, 2,000,000 people. On the day of Qiyamah, my friend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us stand in His court. Where each and every human will be there. Each and every human. Each and every human, each and every jinn, each and every angel, and each and every creature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our book of deeds. And not only one evil of ours will be exposed. Each and every single evil of our life will be exposed. Each and every single evil. وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا. Each person will find an open book in front of him. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى will say, اقرأ كتابك. اقرأ كتابك. Read your life. Read your biography. This is your biography. In the world when people used to say, مولانا 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 حضرات. You used to become a victim of superiority complex. You could not bend your head down and look at the reality which lay within yourself. Just because people said Maulana, just because people said Hadrat, just because people praised you, you became the victim of inferiority complex. He was unaware. He was unaware of what you really are. And he was praising you, and his praising you was a merit for him in the hereafter, because this is what the Sharia has commanded him to do, to think good about you. But could you not take out a few moments and could you not think about yourself? Could you not reckon yourself in the world? Could you not be muraqaba and think about yourself? And ask questions that do I deserve this title of Mawlana? Do I deserve this title of Alim? Do I deserve this title of Shaykhul Hadith? Do I deserve this title of Da'if? Do I deserve this title of Muballigh? Do I deserve this title of Hazrat? Do I deserve this title of Shaykh? Do I deserve this title of Master? Do I deserve this title of Muttaqi? Do I deserve this title of very pious person in our community? Oh, he is the most pious person in our community. Do I deserve this title? Do I deserve this title? Am I not aware of myself? Are you not aware of yourself? He is not aware of me, you are not aware of me. But am I not aware of myself? Am I not aware of what I think inside? How I think inside? Am I not aware of what I do when I am alone, away from the public? Am I not aware what I do during the night, behind closed doors? Yes, each and every one of us is aware. Each and every one of us. We will have to stand in the court of Allah. We will have to stand in the court of Allah. وَكُلَّ إِنْسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَعِيرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه كتابا يلقاه منشورا. اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. Read your life. Read your life. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You don't need anybody to reckon you today. Reckon yourself. Reckon yourself, because as soon as you start reading this book of yours, you will begin to remember everything. You will begin to remember everything. This person will begin to read. He will begin to flip through his book. And he will see that each and every item is recorded. Each and every. كُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. This person will say, on the day of Qiyamah, after looking through his book of deeds, My friend, I appeal to all of you. First I appeal to myself, my nafs. I appeal to myself, and thereafter I appeal to all of you. That before that day, when we begin to study our life, let us study our life here today. Today in this very world, before it is too late. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Reckon yourself before you are reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. Reckon yourself, take your hisab, take your daily hisab, take your weekly hisab, take your monthly hisab, take your annual hisab, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your hisab on the day of Qiyamah. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu, wazinu qabla an tuzanu, and weigh your amal before they are weighed on the day of Qiyamah. My friends, house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then on the day of Qiyamah, it will have no weight more than the balloon. The tahajjud, the nawafil, the tilawat, the 4 months, the 49, the year, whatever we strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, organizing of this conference, you are coming to this conference. My friend, if ikhlas does not exist, if ikhlas does not exist, it will not weigh more than more. It will not weigh more than a balloon of the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will demand nothing, nothing for this amal. Nothing for this amal. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that before it is too late, before your amal, before your deeds are weighed on the day of Qiyamah, weigh them now in this very world. Check whether ikhlas is there. If ikhlas is there, to what degree? What degree? What is your motive of coming into gathering? What is your motive in establishing Al Huda Academy, in establishing Islamic Dawah Academy, in establishing a masjid, in establishing a Darul Uloom? What is your motive? What is your motive when you are standing in front of the public and when you are speaking to them? Is it that you are looking for praise? You are looking for praise from people, that people say, oh, what a great speaker! Oh, what a great speaker! Oh, what a great alim! Oh, what a great guy! Is that your motive? وَذِنُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُوْذَنُوا وَتَآهَرُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ Allahu Akbar! وَتَآهَرُوا prepare yourself for that supreme court, that great court, court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will be the judge. Himself will be the one who is all aware, the one who is all hearing, the one who is all seeing will be the judge. This person will slip through and he will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. This book is strange. This book is astonishing. It has recorded each and every detail of my life. Everything I have uttered is here. Everything I did is here. Friends, we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give account for each and everything that we have done in this world. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Shaykh of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani, Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhianvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the likes of these luminaries, Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala, who had drunk much from the spiritual ocean of Hakim al-Ummah, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi says that we are so much drowned in things. Our life is full of things, full of evil, that if on the day of Qiyamah, listen carefully my friend, listen carefully, and each and every person become judge for yourself and jury for yourself. Let us not think about other people. Let us think about ourselves today. Let us take account of ourselves. Let us reckon ourselves. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi says that even the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reckoning us, after weighing our book of deeds, decides that your evil deeds are far more greater than your good deeds. So now you will be doomed to the fire of Jahannam. You will have to go to the fire of Jahannam. Fire of Jahannam. On that day, my friend, each and every person will be looking for straws to clutch on. Somehow, I want to save myself from the fire of Jahannam. Somehow, I'm going to Jahannam. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes account of a person, reckons a person, and he takes a decision that you are doomed to go in fire of Jahannam. Upon hearing this news, the person will have no doubt whatsoever regarding his destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter was to say to him that there is one thing that can save you from the fire of Jahannam. There is one thing that can save you from the fire of Jahannam.
He will say, oh Allah, I'm prepared to do anything. Please tell me, what will save you? Save me from the fire of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say that let your wife read your book of deeds. If you let your wife read your book of deeds, I will let you go in Jannah. Or if Allah was to say, let your sheikh and let your teacher read your book of deeds. Or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say, let your student read your book of deeds. Or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say, let your husband read your book of deeds. Let your friend read your book of deeds. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that we have so many filthy items in our book of deeds that on the day of Qiyamah we will give preference to going in the fire of Jahannam, but we will not want anybody else to look at our book of deeds. So day of Qiyamah, my friends, day of Qiyamah, people may praise us. At that time, think to yourself, I don't deserve this praise. This praise is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, just as you have concealed me, people are honoring me. Oh Allah, conceal me until I give my life. Life is a long way, my friend. Grace is a long way to go. What may happen tomorrow or the day after, nobody knows. What may happen tomorrow, nobody knows. We may lose our iman. May Allah forbid. We may lose the path. May Allah forbid. Someone may out of jealousy accuse us for no reason. And people may begin to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put us on fire. Test us in this very world. May Allah save us from every fitnah. And friends, what may happen at the time of death, only Allah knows. What will happen in the grave? What will happen in the grave? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, that the fitna of the grave, the fitna of the grave is no less than the fitna of Dajjal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test the ummah through Dajjal. The fitna of the grave is no less than the fitna of Dajjal. On the day of Qiyamah, our book of deeds will be opened. So I was saying, friends, that if everybody praises us, but after we depart from this world, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say that I am unhappy with you, we are a failure in this world and the hereafter. And if nobody praises us, there is no faith, no name, nobody knows us. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say, you are my friend, you are my wali, you are siddiq, you are a muttaqi, I am happy with you. Go in Jannah, I am saving you from the fire of Jahannam. That is success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَوَدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. One who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and one who is granted entry into Jannah, this person has become successful. And another way of removing pride entering our heart is to think to ourselves that I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is also a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are both slaves. We are both equal. He is not a master. He is not my master. If he was my master, if he was my master, if he owned me and he praised me, I would have become happy that my master is happy with me. But he is not my master. He is a slave like me. The master is only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone else in this world is a slave. I am a slave. Morana is a slave. You are all slaves. The creatures throughout the world are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the praise of a slave does not make another slave happy. You are a slave like me. You are praising me. When my master praises me, then I will become happy. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, rahimahullah ta'ala, great scholar of the Indian subcontinent. He explained this in a similitude, this is an example. He says that there were 5, 10, 15 slaves sitting in one place belonging to one master. And one of them was superintendent. He was extraordinary, very handsome,
well built, very strong, very courageous. He had all the qualities that a human would like to have. So they were all sitting together, relaxed. After some birth or before some birth, the master had not arrived yet. And out of the 10, 15 of them, everybody began praising this particular slave, who was the best out of the world. One of them said, "Oh, you are very, very intelligent. Very intelligent. Very intelligent. There is nothing like you in this world." The other said, "You're not only intelligent, you are handsome to me. You are very handsome." The third said, "You are not only intelligent, not only handsome, you are very strong as well." The fourth one said, "Not only that, you are very courageous as well." Everybody started praising. Finally, the last one said that normally a slave is valued at 1,000 pounds. When a slave is sold, he is valued at 1,000 pounds. You possess so many qualities that if our master wishes to sell you, if our master wishes to sell you, he can sell you for 100,000 pounds. Because of all the qualities you have. Now this intelligent slave is just sitting there, no happiness on his face, no pride on his face, nothing. So the other said that we have been praising you for the last 10, 15 minutes, each one of us, and there is no happiness on your face. So he said that you are putting a price on my head that I worth 100,000 pounds. But you are praying right. You are putting a price on my head doesn't mean anything to me. It is when the master comes to me and he takes me in the market and the master puts the price of 100,000 on my head. That is the time for me to feel proud that yes, I am worth 100,000 pounds. You are all slaves like me. You are putting any price on my head doesn't make me happy. It is the master who decides. Mohammed Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, if anybody praises us in this very world, he is putting a price on our head that, oh, he is a great Maulana, he is a great Shaykh, he is a great Muhaddith. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that price and title on our head, that yes, he is a great Alim, he is a great Muhaddith, he is a great Da'i, he is a great Wali, that is the time to be proud. And thereafter, Mawlana Sayyid Suleiman Nabi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, Aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. He used to say, Aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. In this world, whether we remain honored or dishonored, in this world, whether we are healthy or we are sick, in this world, whether we become the Prime Minister of a country, President of a country, or remain a subject, in this world, whether we become a factory owner or a shop owner or we remain a common worker in a factory, in this world, whether we remain ignorant or whether we become educated, in this world, whether we remain like this or we remain like this, it doesn't make a difference. Aise rahe ya aise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. The decisive moment will be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a stand in His court and He says, you are Jannati or you are Jahannam. You are going in Jannah or you are going in Jahannam. So my friend, this is also part of the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that a person should learn always to look at his shortcomings. He should always look at his shortcomings. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him any favor, in the form of ilm, ilm is a favor of Allah. In the form of taqwa, this is also a favor from Allah. In the form of wilayah, this is also a favor from Allah. In the form of wealth, this is also a favor from Allah. In the form of tawfiq, tawfiq to do good, this is also a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should always think to himself that whatever I have been given by my creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as He has given it to me, whenever and wherever He will wish, He will snatch this nemat away from me. And if I become arrogant, if I become proud, if I become a victim of self-conceit, if I become a victim of pride, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely snatch away this favor from me. So I have to exercise humility. I have to exercise humbleness. And this is what we find in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. After any expedition, whenever he used to return successfully, he would never say, look at my strategy. Look at the strategy. Because he was very clever. Very intelligent. This world has never seen anyone more clever and more intelligent than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The ulama have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created intellect, the faculty of intellect, and he divided the faculty of intellect into 100 parts. He distributed one part among the whole creation and he gave 99 parts to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So clever. Some general who have years of experience in the army, years of experience of war and battle. Some general have studied the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Battle of Ahzab, Battle of Hunayn, Battle of Taif, the liberation of Makkah, conquest of Makkah. They studied all the battles that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they scrutinized every decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every move that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. And after scrutinizing each and every move of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came to the conclusion that no general in the history of mankind could have taken a better decision in that particular situation. He was not somebody who would just stand on the musalla and perform his prayer. No. He was very clever. Very intelligent. Very intelligent. In the Battle of Badr, the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain sealed just before the Battle of Badr, the Muslims were less in number 313 and the non-Muslims were more in number 1000 and Muslims were not aware of the number of the mushrikeen and they wanted to find out so they could prepare a strategy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came and they seized a few slaves of the mushrikeen who were dispatched by the mushrikeen on a mission. And the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam began interrogating them. And one question they were asking was that what is the number of your army? How many people have come from Makkah Mukarrama to wage war against the Muslims? They just wouldn't budge. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain began exerting force, pressurizing them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was in his tent. So when he heard the commotion outside, he said, what is happening outside? So some Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have managed to seal some slaves of the mushrikeen, and they are interrogating them, they are trying to extract information from them, but they are just not budging. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his tent. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, how blessed were the eyes of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that they were able to witness all this in front of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerged from his tent and he came near where the interrogation was taking place and he said to the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, move away from the slave. And he sat down with the slave. How are you? What is your name? What is your origin? Who do you belong to? Relax. Don't worry. Everything is okay. Everything is fine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relaxed him. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. Continued talking to them regarding this issue, that issue. He is not questioning them anything about the army of the Mushrikeen of the Kufar. What is your responsibility? You are slaves, so I am sure you must be slaughtering camels as well on a daily basis. and you must be skinning the camel's breast, and you must be making the pieces of the meat, and you must be cooking as well. And they kept on saying, yes, we have to do this, we have to do this. They became very, very relaxed. The Prophet said, how many camels do you slaughter every day? So they said, we slaughter 10 camels every day. The Prophet said, take them away. The Prophet said, take them away, the interrogation is over. One camel is eaten by 100 people. If they slaughter 10 camels every day, that means the army consists of 100 people, 1,000 people. Intelligent. Allah Akbar. Allah said, that the problem with me and you, my friend, is this is a reality. The non-Muslims do not know who our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. This is a reality. But the worst reality is that we Muslims don't know who he was. We ourselves don't know how great our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very intelligent. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very humble. So whenever he used to return from expedition, he never said, my strategy, my strategy, my strategy, my intelligence. You will never see in any hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to the Sahaba ikram, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, don't worry, I am amongst you. Why are you worried? Why are you concerned? I have direct contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. He was humble, humble. So humble, so humble, so humble that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made promise to him that tomorrow in the battle of Badr, I am going to grant victory to the believers. Despite that whole night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent in ibadah and dua, and he was saying, Allahumma in tahlik hadihi al-isabatu la tu'bud fil ardi abada. Oh Allah, help us, oh Allah, help us, oh Allah, help us. And he continued to weep, cry, and ask Allah, because the humbleness was there. He did not feel proud that I am the Sayyidul Mursaleen. Allah has promised that he will send aid, he will send a force with Jibreel. No, humble, I am a human. And what is the responsibility of a human? Even if Allah makes a promise, the responsibility of a human, the responsibility of a slave is to bow down before Allah and say, oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, I am weak. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, I am weak. And he continued, he continued, he continued. And he was weeping so much, marked al yadayhi, with his arm stretched out. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is watching this weeping and this beseeching. And he felt sorry for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He felt sorry for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, continued, continued until he saw the army of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that mountain exists still today. And if you go to Badr, those people who are familiar with that area will show you that this is a mountain where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel descending with his army. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَيُفْتَهُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّهُ الدُّفُرِ. Now definitely they will perish, because I have just seen Jibreel descending from the heaven with the army of Malaika. Despite all this, my friend, despite all this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam humbled. You will never hear, I am this, I am that. Wherever he said, Ana Sayyidu Ulbi Adam, I am the leader of mankind. It is because Allah instructed him to say. Only when Allah instructs, otherwise, humble, humble, humble. We find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that any common woman would stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the path, and she would say, can you step aside? I would like to ask you a question. Any common woman would just say. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is emerging from his room, from his hujra, to go on the musalla. The Sahaba ikram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, any person would get up and say, I'd like to speak to you. And the congregation is waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is attending to his question. He is attending to his problem. So simple. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, kana basharan min al-bashar. In my home, he would help me with the pose house. So whenever he used to return successfully from any expedition, every time he used to utter these words before entering Madina Munawwara, La ilaha illallah wahda. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Wa nasara abda. It is only he who has helped his servant. Wa anjaza wa'da. It is only he who has fulfilled the promise that he has made. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And it is only he. It is only he who has defeated the coalition forces. And on the day of the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered Makkah Mukarramah, Allahu Akbar, when he entered Makkah Mukarramah, how would a liberator enter a city? How would a conqueror enter a city? With his head high, with his chest out, looking to the right and to the left. No, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was so humble, that his back was bent, his head was low, so much so that his blessed beard was touching the hump of the camel. Allahu Akbar. He was like this. He was like this. Father of Allah. Father of Allah. The Father of Allah was so variable. This has happened only to the Father of Allah. 8 years. 8 years ago, what was his condition? 8 years ago. 8 years is not a very long time. 8 years ago, what was his condition? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the night of the Hijrah. He reached the border of Makkah Mukarramah and he looked back at Makkah Mukarramah. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says, I am looking at the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grief that he was experiencing in having to leave his hometown. He said that tears were falling on his cheek and he said, Ya Makkah, O Makkah, إِنَّكِ لَأَحَبُّ الْأَرْضِ إِلَيَّ. You are the most beloved portion of earth to me. وَلَوْ لَا أَنَّ قَوْمِي أَخْرَجُونِي مَا خَرَجْتُ مِنْكِ. If my people did not drive me out, I would never have left you. I would never have left you. He is afraid of his life. During the darkness of the night, he flees from Makkah Mukarramah, and within 8 years, he prepares a mighty force of those people who are prepared to sacrifice anything for him. They have great love for him. He enters Makkah Mukarramah. He does not say that this is because of my doing, this is because of my tarbiyah, this is because of my teaching, this is because of my effort, this is because of my striving, this is my day and night effort. No, he is heard saying, La ilaha illallah wa ahda. My friend, this is the seerah we need to study. This is the seerah we need to understand. This is the seerah we need to practice. If we read this seerah, if we study this seerah, if we practice this seerah, my friend, today, the help and nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return again. Aaj bhi ho, fizaa-e-badr paida kar, create the atmosphere of badr. Create the atmosphere of Badr. What was the atmosphere of Badr? Turning to Allah, beseeching Him, weeping in front of Him, crying to Him. And what was the atmosphere of Badr? Taqwa, wilayat, abstinence from sins. This was the atmosphere of Badr. Fizaa-e Badr paida kar, farishte teri nusrat ko utar sakte hain gardon mein, qatar andar qatar rabbi. If you create the atmosphere of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to you today. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah wahda, only Allah is worthy of worship. Wa nazara abda, it is only He who has helped His servant. I am nothing but a servant of Allah. Wa anjaza wa'ada, it is only Allah who has fulfilled His promise. He has promised me that one day I will make you victorious. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda, and the whole Arab had united against me. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has defeated the coalition forces. So my friend, let us go from here with this view that inshallah we will study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us go with this view that we will try to understand the Quran. We will try our utmost to understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting in the company of reliable ulama, under the guidance of the reliable ulama. And thereafter, the most important aspect is that we will practice this seerah. We will practice this seerah, and verbally and practically we will convey this seerah to Muslims and non-Muslims alike, so people are able to understand Islam better and
people are able to appreciate Islam and the teachings of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every effort of Al-Huda Academy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant enormous barakah in every single initiative of Al-Huda Academy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.